Friday demonstrations in Belin begin at 1 p.m. on the dot. Belin is a Palestinian village adjacent to Ramallah in the West Bank. The demonstrations are to protest the building of the security fence, which will separate the villagers from more than half of their land. The Israeli newspaper Haaretz concedes that, quote, the lands taken from the residents of Belin, some of which are privately owned, are mostly intended to expand existing settlements, but also to build a new settlement called Nalat Hefziba, end quote. Zachary Wales is a master's student at Columbia University's School of International and Public Affairs. He just finished taking a summer course at Birzeit University in Ramallah. Wales believes that the weekly demonstrations are one of the longest standing and most underreported acts of peaceful resistance in our era. Since February this year, the campaign has held nearly 60 demonstrations, which involve local and international contingents that have numbered as high as 500. The road to Belin passes through several remote villages whose subsistence depends largely on olive farming. But no one has to tell you when you've reached Belin. The streets are lined with Palestinian flags and posters of martyrs from the village, mostly young boys who fell to rubber bullets. The demonstration itself has developed an almost ritualistic pattern that's typical of peaceful protests in occupied Palestine, where Israeli soldiers tolerate passive resistance for just so long before they fire tear gas or rubber-coated bullets, which break the skin and often kill, into the crowd. Doing this invokes stone-throwing from local youths who weather day-to-day narrative of harassment, beatings, and arrests, quite apart from what the internationals experience. But the demonstrations at Belin are not at all routine. In fact, they're marked by a light touch and a creative twist. Back in March, the Popular Committee Against the Wall and the local sports society of Belin organized a nighttime volleyball tournament. After 4 nights in a row of the Israeli military entering the village between the hours of 11 p.m. and 3 a.m., searching homes, arresting young men, and photographing the rest, residents of the village decided to creatively resist. The volleyball game, organized to begin at 11 p.m., was a way for the village to show the military that they were not scared of these raids. The heavy machinery working on the wall and the soldiers that guard the area could be seen operating until well past 10 p.m. as the games were beginning. At 12:30 a.m., news came that the soldiers were on their way into the village. The teams were split up into emergency response groups in case the soldiers began searching or occupying homes. Meanwhile, the games continued. Over the protesting voices of some of the Israelis who felt the scoring of the games was erroneous, the Popular Committee and local sports club awarded the tournament trophy to the internationals. Dancing and singing ensued. When the soldiers approached, a response team was sent out to check on the situation, leaving the rest behind to continue a pickup game of basketball. Arriving at the site of where the soldiers were reported to be inside a home, the response team began a rousing rendition of the Internationale and other historic resistance songs in the street outside the home. It seemed to work. The soldiers left, and the response team returned to finish the basketball game. In recent weeks, villagers have constructed mock scales to symbolize injustice and built large cages representing the caging in of their village. One of the leaders, Abu Rama, was arrested inside a large prop constructed to look like a bridge that carried a banner which read, "Peace needs bridges, not walls." For the July 29th demonstration, the people of Belin built a settler house out of styrene plastic and gave it as a gift to the IDF soldiers who protect the wall's construction site outside the village. On August 5th, 50 Israelis and 30 internationals joined about 100 Palestinians from Belin to carry a 20-foot-long snake with a dove bearing the colors of the Palestinian flag in its mouth towards a construction site of the annexation wall. The display represented how the wall is snaking through Palestinian land, killing the possibilities for peace. Then on September 2nd, the IDF tried to crack down on the resistance at Belin by brute force. 1 hour before the beginning of the weekly demonstration, a squad of roughly 100 soldiers invaded the village and proceeded to take over. In an unprecedented move, snipers set up posts on rooftops. Jeeps and Hummers patrolled the streets as a large group of soldiers positioned themselves outside the mosque where the demonstration was scheduled to begin. Once the prayer was over, the people leaving the mosque were dispersed. A curfew was imposed immediately, and one of the commanders announced that there will be no more demonstrations in Belin. The next week, on September 9th, army and border police forces entered Belin at 5 a.m., declaring a curfew, prohibited the weekly demonstration, and ordered the 8 Israelis who had stayed the night in Belin to leave. When they refused, they were all arrested. Meanwhile, Belin inhabitants came out of their homes, breaking the curfew, and started to drum pots and pans in the village streets. Only when the soldiers started to shoot rubber bullets, tear gas, and concussion grenades did some of the village youth start throwing stones. Meanwhile, more than 200 Israeli activists from Haifa, Tel Aviv, and Jerusalem slipped past army roadblocks by cutting through the ultra-Orthodox settlement Modin Ilit, which was created on the lands of Belin and its neighboring villages. In the end, the Israelis, including former Knesset member Uri Avneri of Gush Shalom, who on that very day marked his 82nd birthday, Yaakov Manor of Tayush, and Dorothy Naor of New Profile, trekked through kilometers of difficult terrain and 30-degree heat. Surprisingly, they reached the actual building site of the wall, which the army had successfully blocked against the demonstrators for the past 6 months. "Life is full of surprises," Avneri noted in an article written about the day. "Suddenly an army jeep drove up and offered us ice-cold water. Since we were all by now in various stages of dehydration, we accepted. Thus fortified, we dispersed among the olive trees and started to walk towards the village. It was a very steep climb over the rocks, worse even than before. Halfway up, I was overtaken by 2 young army officers. 'Wouldn't you consider coming back with us?' they inquired politely. I declined with equal civility. And then the incredible happened. They bade me farewell and disappeared." The demonstrations at Belin are far from stopped. Last week, the pianist Jacob Allegro, Dutch Holocaust survivor and a supporter of the Gush Shalom movement, made his way to the village. The piano of Israeli actor Yossi Pollack and his wife Tammy had just been donated to Belin, and Zamir Barlev, an activist and piano tuner, came on Thursday to repair some broken keys. Beata Zilversmit, Gush Shalom activist who is originally from Holland and had known Allegro for many years, speculated, "Perhaps the army, which has become more and more aggressive to nonviolent protests at Belin, will show some respect toward a protest concert." Jacob Allegro is one of those whose first language is music. He was born in Amsterdam under Nazi occupation in January 1943 to a family from the city's old Portuguese Jewish community. In February of the same year, the Nazi collaborating police raided the house and his parents were deported to Auschwitz. Just before that, however, the parents had managed to smuggle their newborn baby out of the house and into the hands of the Dutch resistance, which hid him until the end of the war and saved his life. The ground floor of the Abu Rama house has been transformed into a kind of youth hostel with mattresses spread out and a self-service kitchen corner. It hosts every week of Israeli activists who come on Thursday in order to be in Belin and at the weekly event. The piano was moved into the garden, and Jacob Allegro played and played. Several times the crowd in the front garden ran to the street at rumors of army patrols arriving. On Israeli TV, the scene appeared, after all, not on Channel 2, but on the respectable First Channel, using Reuters material. It was one more amazing report from Belin, from people who now already, for months, capture the headlines with their imaginative, nonviolent ways of protest, undeterred by army violence. That's it for this Monday. This week's report is a collage of quotations from eyewitness accounts by members of the International Solidarity Movement, Gush Shalom, Tayush, the Coalition of Women for Peace, Anarchists Against the Wall, the Other Israel Billboard, Haaretz, and the Belin Popular Committee Against the Wall. If you would like to suggest a story or comment about anything you hear on Monday Morning World Report, email Earthling, that's EARTHLING, at netidea.com. Put Monday Morning World Report in the subject line to make sure I don't mistake your message for spam. I'm Jim Terrell at Kootenai Co-op Radio. Thanks for listening.